All right.
Blog Talk Radio.
Now it's all right, Adrian.
Yeah.
Jump on in. Welcome to another edition of UAW Factory Whistle Show for the 23rd of May. Boy, it's really going fast, isn't it? 81 degrees.
What's the date? Try May 2nd. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. May 2nd. I'm pushing the button there. I'm trying to get to July. May 2nd. I'm looking at the wrong calendar.
He's just hoping the Social Security check comes now, though.
Yeah. Damn. I get mine on the third Wednesday of the month.
Yes. And you don't never know what that date's going to be.
No, you don't. So hopefully you're not going check by check, because 1 week you'll get it early, 1 month you get it early, next one you're waiting for a long time. You don't think it's ever going to get to you.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't even know when I get it. I mean, it's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Government hasn't missed one yet.
Amen to that.
But it's getting close. It's getting close.
Yeah.
That $6 trillion. That $6 trillion scares me. Okay. What's that?
Why does that scare you?
$6 trillion?
It's
been $6 trillion since I was in grade school and Reagan was in office.
Right. We have to look at the times.
The times have changed, but the debt keeps rolling. Son of a gun, you're giving free everything to illegal aliens? No, thank you. We got people in our own country that can't get that. No
veterans.
Thanks.
They've been giving freebies to people forever. This ain't just started.
How
much do they give Israel every year?
I don't care what they give Israel. I'm thinking what
they
give American people. They want to give illegal aliens everything, free college and everything else. We got veterans living under bridges. I don't think that's right.
Some of them are doing it because they want to.
Well, some of them, maybe.
Yeah.
But not all of them.
No, not all of them.
But we ain't going to get into this, Adrian. Not tonight.
No, because it's a whole lot of stuff that we could really talk about. We could talk about how GM wants to take and give $1 billion to build a plant in Mexico. That is using some of our money, too.
You damn right it is.
And it's like, hell no.
You damn right they're using money.
And what does our president of the UAW say?
That's
nothing.
A slap in the face.
It was a slap in his face. It's offensive.
Did he say anything? I must have missed it.
Well, there was an article in the paper. Detroit News or Free Press, whichever what it was, and the UAW said that there was a slap in the face.
Yeah.
That's all they said? A slap in the face?
That's all they really said in that article.
Wow.
And you know what? It gets even better than that. You didn't hear, excuse my language, ladies and gentlemen and children, if you're listening, you didn't hear, I guess I can change it. You didn't hear boo from our president of the United States about that. He was talking about more manufacturing jobs. Where did I hear that before? Somebody else had said that. Maybe it was the president before him said that they're trying to work on getting more manufacturing jobs here in the United States. Anyway, you didn't hear a boo from him when General Motors made the announcement. It's like, wow.
No. I wish he would have said something. Let me get to Paul.
Yeah, I was listening to some of the talk shows today, and
oh boy,
and I do that on Sunday, but and I recommend this to all of us that we need to get in touch with our senators and our congresspeople and tell them, hell no, we don't like this, we don't want this to happen. Debbie Dingell did say no.
You look in her background, her husband's background, now the husband's father, which they have been on the government dole forever. They worked for General Motors. They lobbied for General Motors before they did anything. So you ought to look into that. And
they said that.
Do you think she's really going to do anything? She hasn't so far.
Debbie Dingell said, no, this should not be. And she says,
she's going to say no.
I work for General Motors. She said it.
Well, good. She did. And she lobbied for him and against us. So I don't think she's changed, honest
with you. Let's change the tempo on this real quick.
Yeah.
So real quick, what we're saying, let's re-catch. General Motors announced they're going to build an EV. Let alone we have plants here in idle.
Yes.
We shouldn't say idled. They said, what was the new catchphrase?
What, the reallocated?
Unallocated, yes. Unallocated products here in the United States. We have plants that are available to do that. They're going to, I'm going to announce, they're going to try to fire up Grand River, I guess. But then one of the other plants, they're going to keep them out on layoff right now because of the chip shortage. But anyway, so
Scott, let me, I already said it. I don't know. Paul, you're on too.
Greetings, rabble rousers.
Greetings, Paul.
The most important thing you didn't hear was there would be any repercussions from the UAW. There hasn't been any forever.
Yeah.
You know, the thing, and when they do something, they do it half a job of it, like the last couple strikes. The thing is, everything General Motors has done in the last 40 years has been a slap in the face of the auto worker, you know. Those of us that worked in several plants heard the same song and dance that if you get your quality and productivity up, your plant will be safe. But there's no plant that is safe as long as we have the UAW we have. A union that won't fight back, a union that's obsessed with helping management improve their bottom line, and it's really easy to improve your bottom line. Just slowly but surely outsource all your work to $10 and $12 an hour plants and send the rest to China and Mexico. And they've been pulling this scam on the UAW for years. And they don't wise up. And, you know, the question I posed the old union rep about whether these contracts were bargained when our leadership was drunk. We don't know what the answer is, but we do know that when they popped some of these UAW leaders, that they had a taste for fine liquor and cigars. And to me, it seems like they probably had the same taste when they were bargaining a contract as before that. They have no idea what's going on, but, you know, it just doesn't seem like the contracts we've gotten have been bargained by people that have a sound mind and have the interest of the membership at heart and have any real ability to do the job. Because a lot of us have been union activists just shake our head when we look at the direction we've been herded. I mean, General Motors closed over half their plants. They've moved, you know, just like the Flint Metal Center, they had 3,700 workers. When I hired in there, it's got somewhere around 400 or 500 now. I don't know the exact amount, but it's disgraceful. And management's been able to do that through contract.
Yeah. So when you say contracts, we need to relate to people that the last 7, 8, 9 contracts have all been about job security.
Yeah.
Job security for who? Sure, not the workers.
For how many people?
Yeah. Yeah.
Their idea has been that they just keep retiring us old dogs, and they have less and less people because they don't replace us. And
right.
The thing is that it looks to me like they want to ride the attrition down to pretty much absolute zero. And why should they stop? You know, it's just like good football coaches. They'll keep running a play till the opposing defense stops it. Good coaches will. And Mary Barr is probably the most brilliant CEO General Motors has. She just knows the union is like, what's the Chinese term, paper tiger?
Paper tiger.
Plays them like a fiddle.
Yeah. I don't know if it's because they don't know how to deal with a woman or what it is.
That's nothing to do with it.
Well, I have no idea what it is, but she has done more crap than any CEO General Motors has ever had.
That does have something to do with it, because I remember Danjan talking about that. In the last 20 years, we've seen an influx of more women in higher places in the hierarchy in production, and especially as plant managers.
Yeah.
Because men choose not to argue. Yeah. Exactly. And they have what they call a maternal side to the women, and they don't think the women are going to do anything to hurt them, when actually women are less.
They're dirty fighters.
Yeah. There you go. Okay,
I mean, most married men would rather get in a fist fight with another man than argue with his wife. You know.
Yeah.
I think there is some interplay there, but I just think Mary Barr is brilliant. She understands that with the kind of union we have, she can continue to eliminate her jobs.
Absolutely. You know, she's been doing this for. She's been working with General Morrison since she was 18 years old, Paul.
And
she went through all the departments.
She's seen how corrupt the union is. And she knows they don't have, even if they want to do something, they don't have effective strategies anymore. They're so used to complying with management, they don't know how to say no. You never see any indignation. You know, your union leaders of 40 and 50 years ago, when management pulled some crap that was no good for the membership, there was some fire there. They were angry.
I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, the thing is, they had some strength of conviction. You know, these people, most of them, that represent us now are office rats. They haven't worked in a plant in years. They don't have any idea how these changes impact people. I mean, when you look at these temporary people, what impact does it have on a worker when every day you go in, they might tell you at the end of the day you're fired? Or they might tell you that when you show up, you know, at the start of the day.
Or just tell you, we don't need you because you're an at-will employee.
Yeah,
we just don't need
you. And they get to pay union dues for that privilege.
You think
Walter Reuther would have bargained a contract like that?
Yeah,
or any of the people that we had 30 or 40 years ago running the union? It had better sense.
No. But it has been... It has been over 30 years since Dennis Williams brought the tier system into the egg department.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was there when Jokic was around.
Yeah.
Jokic
it wasn't
bring
that
to...
severe, though. And you
right.
still had a hope and a future.
Yeah, Jokic would have never brought the tier system into the into the plants.
Yeah.
Now I can't say that that Bob King would have or would not have, or that Yahoo before him, Gettelfinger.
Yeah.
You know, because Gettelfinger single-handedly, in one fell swoop with a pen, forgive 17 billion with a B dollars into the VEBA for General Motors. He forgave that.
Yeah.
In 2 years.
Just like they forgave a lot of cell slots. They let management violate the contract, operate plants undermanned, and then they just wiped away that obligation for management.
Yep.
Mary Barra understands how to get rid of the union. Placate them with money, and every new product they build go into a joint venture.
Yeah. And I'm gonna kind of side up with you on this. I think they're gonna take advantage of this chip woes too.
Sure they are.
And the reason I say that because General Motors is now gonna keep the Fairfax, Kansas plant down.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Till the week of July 5th.
Yeah.
So all of May, all of June.
Yeah.
And then July 5th, Fairfax will go back to work.
Well, it's like I told the workers last year on the show, enjoy your time off because you're not getting a summer shutdown and you'll be lucky to get any summer vacation time.
Yeah, no, nobody is.
Yeah.
Nobody is.
All of our contracts are management friendly. And they get more so every time.
And you also have Ford's going to extend downtime at several plants.
Yeah.
Chicago, Flat Rock, Kansas City assembly plants in Illinois, Michigan, and Missouri will be down the weeks of May 3rd and May 10th. During that period, Ford's Ohio assembly plant in Avon Lake will produce only super duty chassis, cabs, and medium duty trucks.
Yeah.
Airborne truck will be shut down the week of May 31st for maintenance.
Wow. So, I guess you see this is coming, and there's things that you need to be done. So we're gonna go ahead and we'll have this layoff. And I guess if they were smart, they'd do this the work that they wanted to do, what they normally do during a shutdown or whatever. They're gonna conveniently lay people off because of the chip shortage, and take advantage of that time and get the things done.
Yeah.
And then when you come back to work, there'll still be no shutdown for you.
Yeah. And what's that emergency provision in the contract? They can work the crap out of you for days on end.
Yeah.
They've got that because the union let them close all their excess plants.
Yes.
That's it.
Now.
And they're going to stay closed.
With the heavy-duty trucks, you have Oshawa, Canada is getting ready to come online.
Yeah.
So, That's supposed to be the overrun for Fort Wayne and for Flint Assembly.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you and I and everybody on this show right now knows what that means.
Yeah.
You know, there goes your that overtime.
Yeah. More whipsawing.
You know, we'll get that running.
I mean, the big problem is General Motors will not fight for market share.
No.
They want to shrink the company down, and they want to make money on less sales. But you know they've shown a willingness since Roger Smith to give up market share. So how can you have job security with a company that won't fight to win in the marketplace?
Right.
Yet they want you to roll over and work like a dog. Give up all your freedoms in the workplace.
Sure.
You know, our contract is absolute insanity that they can lay you off in Flint, Michigan, and tell you what, and what is it, 1 or 2 weeks you have to show up in Missouri or Texas or wherever they want to ship you?
Right.
I mean, what sober person would bargain a contract like that?
I can't say a sober person. Because even a drunk person would want to get the best they could do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what kind of a scoundrel would negotiate a contract that would literally, knowingly hurt your membership.
Yeah.
You know,
like,
me and Dan used to say this contract was at us, not for us, but at us.
Oh, sure. They've been management has been making love to our union leadership, they've been making war on us.
Both of them have.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Chrysler Post has $3.3 billion quarterly profit, but they're warning what's going to happen in the second because of the chip shortage.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to feel the chip shortage. It's not just Ford. It's not Chrysler. It's not just General Motors. Toyota's going to feel it. Honda's going to feel it. All the transplants are going to feel it, too. Everybody's feeling this chip shortage right now.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it's just, when is enough enough? When is there enough profit? When have they gotten rid of enough workers? When have they closed enough plants? I don't think the union discusses that.
Right.
Well, it's just like somebody brought up, you know, the idea of, you know, and in theory this sounds good, you know, the Biden and the crew talking about the rich paying their fair share.
Right.
The problem
right.
with it is they don't say what that means. You know,
right.
there's some in the Democratic Party that thinks that should be 90% of what you make should go to the government.
Right.
And
I watched
him. Go ahead.
He's saying 39%.
Yeah.
That's what their tax rate should be, 39%.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, you know what? This is the oldest shell game. This has been going on for 30 years.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's take Bill Gates, for example, real quick. Okay, one of the richest men in the world.
Yeah.
Pays less taxes than you and I and Adrian, you know.
Well, they should get rid of the loopholes is what they need
exactly.
to do. But when
exactly.
you tax people to the point where they're being punished for being productive, they're either going to leave the country or stop being productive.
Well, right. Or it gets to the point where all they're doing is the working poor.
But that's the problem with continuous improvement. When have we improved enough? When you got one UAW worker left in a plant and General Motors says, we can't afford a full-timer with benefits. We need two part-timers
right.
with full benefits. Is that the answer?
Yeah.
The union better start talking about these kind of things.
Right.
And start getting some things in writing.
Well, talking about talking and getting things in writing, this last week, I guess Rory Gamble was kind of thought out loud about retiring instead of going to the next ConCon.
Yeah.
And he's hinted at who his replacement would be, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear who it is.
Ray Curry.
Oh.
The Secretary of Financial Treasurer.
Oh, okay. Oh, good. Then the union could be run by bean counters just like management is.
That's the way it was anyway.
Yeah.
Before they put Rory in there, Gary Jones.
Gary Jones, yeah.
Okay.
Well, he's just making it official. We don't need somebody that's a hard bargainer. We need a money man to run the union.
Man.
No. Yeah, no.
If anybody has a contact with this guy that's overseeing the UAW, I think one point needs to be made to him is, you know, it's not just, the problem isn't just the way we select our leaders. A big problem is the massive amount of appointed jobs we have in the union. It's literally destroyed our union because you can't move up beyond a local level unless you're a yes man. And so good people get elected. sometimes in lower level positions, and they find out it's an uphill battle, but if they just shut their mouths, they get rewarded with free trips and the possibility of getting to Solidarity House.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, that's really ruined their union. People should move up in the union because they've demonstrated capabilities, not just because they know how to be a bobblehead at the convention.
Right, right. Well, they're a good bobblehead, that's for sure.
Yeah. And this, you know, the thing of everybody and his brother getting their kids and their spouses on international staff, that needs to stop. I mean, I don't care if everybody on international staff is related, if they're capable and they're doing a good job.
And if they've invested the time.
Yeah.
Because you can't come off the street and go to international. Come on.
No, you
and
have no idea what it's like to really work in a plant.
They ain't even got 5 years in, and all of a sudden they're in the international.
Right.
Oh, better than that. How about 18 months?
Yeah.
Well, I put 5 years on there because I know that there are some that 18 months. I know that there's some less than that. So I'll say 5 years. You haven't even worked for 5 years.
Right.
You haven't been a member for 5 years. And yet and still, you step over people, good people, that have, like you said, demonstrated the capabilities of fighting for this membership, and they've been here 20 years.
Hold on for a minute, guys.
You got less than five,
hold
and
on.
Bam. You, oops, I'm sorry.
No, I just want to jump in real quick. We got a lot of people in the switchboard conversation. Please push one on your keypad. They don't tell you that anymore, but push one on your keypad, and I'll get you right on. Go ahead, Adrian.
Yeah, I just think that thank you. I just think that there's very something very, very wrong with the way that things are done with this nepotism.
Yeah, it's killing us.
It is killing us. Oh, well, it's been killing us for years.
The thing
now
about
it's coming to a big old puss head.
Well, the Buick City elections of when Dave Yetaw was defeated at Buick City in Flint, and I think was it 1996? I think was when he lost his presidency. He was one of the co-chairs of New Directions. I don't think there was anybody more adept at keeping jobs in his local than Dave Yetaw. So what did the International Union do? They targeted him. The book called The Transformation of U.S. Labor Unions has a chapter on that about how Region 1C, which is now gone because it was so corrupt and lost so many jobs, how Region 1C targeted him, that the money to beat Dave Yetaw came from Region 1C, according to this book. And the thing is, if you are capable and you speak up and you buck the International Union, you're targeted. You can be a total incompetent, but as long as you toe the party line, you're eligible to be on international staff.
Right.
Because
there's nothing
that says you have to be capable of doing the job.
And they were in the middle. Buick was in the middle of building a body shop, I believe, wasn't it?
Yeah, a Flex body shop.
Yeah, they're almost done.
And basically they promised that if they got rid of outspoken Dave Yetaw, there'd be jobs. Well,
yep.
Look what happened to the city of Genesee County since Dave Yetaw lost his election. We've lost AC. We've lost the stamping plant down in Grand Blanc. We've lost most of the jobs at SBO. The engine plant that used to have like 6,000 people in it, I think, has got around 800 right now. The stamping plant had 3,700. Flint Metal Center had 3,700 when Yetaw lost his election. Now they got 400 or 500. I mean, everything, it's just fallen apart in Flint since Yetaw's loss. because he was the last outspoken leader who would actually fight management.
So I'm glad you said that, because that brings me back to Corey Gamble and Ray Curry.
Yeah.
Curry would not only be able to finish out Gamble's term, that'd make him the incumbent, which would allow him to run again in 2022
yeah.
and 2026.
Yeah.
And if you read the article, now it positions Cindy Estrada and Chuck Browning from down in Wayne County, who are going to vie to go and become the secretary treasurer.
Yeah.
So they're already jostling and jockeying for the.
So the only question is who is anybody going to get indicted before the next convention to screw up plans?
No.
Because didn't they say they were done investigating the UAW, but not individual members? Or are they done with that now also?
I believe that they're done.
Yeah, I think they are done.
Yep.
I guess they must believe they got to leave somebody to run the union.
Well, he got a whole lot of people. They got almost 500,000 members.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about people within the establishment. They can't indict everybody.
Yeah.
Sure they could.
It wouldn't be anybody left to really run it, the new, you know, do the ins and outs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we need. Yeah.
What, the in and out of the criminality?
Yeah. Well, you know, I maintain these people know how to do their job. They're just corrupt.
I don't.
A lot of them.
I'm not saying all of them.
I'm saying the ones on staff that are in their late 50s or 60s, they know how a union can and should operate.
So what's Cindy Estrada's problem?
I have no idea.
Who knows?
Right. She screwed up GM.
Yeah.
Now she's over at Chrysler.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much everybody's screwed up, Jim. That's the big problem.
Well,
you know,
it's just
been a succession of bad leadership.
Right. So what they happened is they said, look, the Detroit News reported late in 2017 that the agents were interested in Cindy Estrada while investigating whether working training funds were misappropriated and if labor leaders received money or benefits through the tax-exempt nonprofits.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what she did was she had her attorney make the statement. He wrote to the news in an email. He said that Cindy is not a target of the investigation. She has conducted herself with honesty and integrity in her years of serving the members of the UHW.
Well, that's what he
paid
to say. But the thing is, we don't know who and how many people rolled over and had agreements that they would spill the beans if they didn't get prosecuted.
Right.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. So, you know, that's one of the issues there. And apparently whatever people are still left that haven't been indicted are the ones that the feds consider to be the most honest or broken the least rules. Because, you know, when they were going after Donald Trump and his associates, I was listening to someone on the radio who was saying, you can indict a ham sandwich. These federal investigators can find some law that just about everybody's broken in their lifetime. They can find
true.
A reason to indict you.
Yes.
So
totally true. Totally true.
Yeah.
Not only that, they have laws on the books, and the laws don't disappear off the books.
Right. That's it.
So, you know, you got those, well, here in Michigan, we got blue laws.
Yeah.
And those blue laws will get you 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you spit on the sidewalk, they can get you.
Yes.
Yeah, if your horse poops in the middle of the road and you don't take care of it, well, you're going to jail.
Oh, that's right.
I think in the 1950s, you know, in South Carolina, you married outside your race, you could go to jail.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, some of these laws are crazy.
Wait a minute.
We're talking
about
my family was still alive so that I could find out, because I've been trying to figure out how my great-grandparents came to be with each other. I've been trying to figure that out because I know it was against the law.
Yeah. Well, let me...
You know.
Well, I mean, you guys talk about laws and the books and stuff. Last time I knew, I thought Michigan had a law against sodomy.
Yes.
And the reason I say that is because as bad as we're getting screwed in the rear end by our union, it seems like we'll be able to charge them with sodomy, too.
Yeah.
Just saying.
We should be able to file a class action lawsuit on that.
Yeah. Exactly. Something. But, you know.
But that's one of the laws. It's still there. They pull it out and they use it when they can't get folks on anything else. They reach back and they get these laws.
Yeah.
That means they really want you.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, how they get Al Capone?
Income tax evasion.
Income taxes.
Yeah. That's how they get most drug deals.
Yeah.
The RICO laws. You know.
Go ahead, Adrian.
If you pay taxes, they can't get you there.
Right.
If you make
criminal enterprises don't pay. If
you do your own taxes and make a mistake, they can give you your time. I lost a lot. I lost 18 weeks. I believe it was 18 weeks of checks because I fought with the IRS. I got in touch with them, and I was pissed because I said, I don't know. It was $2,000-something dollars. Oh. That's all it was. But with penalty and everything else, man, it was way up there. I didn't get a check. I got a check, but it was for 0.00 for 18, I believe it was 18 weeks. That's
what was that, what's that song? What was the song? I fought the law and the law won.
You damn right they won. They pulled my pants down and spanked me hard. They spanked me hard. Yeah.
The IRS can be very tough to deal with.
Yeah.
I tell you, don't mess with the IRS.
Yeah.
Please.
Not without the right attorney, anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
That knows the ins and outs.
Now they got commercials. If you owe so much money, you know, such and such money, call us. We'll get it down pennies on a dollar. And I said, where in the hell were you guys at 25 years ago?
did anybody appeal these wacky elections that we're unable to campaign?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Do you know of anybody that appealed them in any of the locals?
I haven't.
If they pushed it up to international? And if they got it?
Yeah. Stephanie Riley did it, Local 598.
That was
your
right thing.
And did they get an answer from international?
Yeah, she did.
Did they push it up to the public review board after that? You have 30 days to appeal the public review board from the time you get a decision from international.
Got it.
I don't know how she did that. Yeah. I did.
Hopefully somebody did.
Did she do that, Scott?
I don't think she did.
Oh,
no, it did go to the PBR. That's who ruled on it. And they ruled in favor of the union.
Of course they did.
Not the members.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then
yeah.
Did she go beyond that or, you know, to any government
agency? No. We tried to get her in touch with I can't remember his name now. The guy who writes all the appeals. Can't think of his name right now. Anyway, I know who he is, but he's not cheap.
Oh, the attorney,
you know,
up in Charlevoix? That's the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Well, the
thing
is,
you know,
we need to keep screaming regardless if we get the results we want because, you know, really, we're having more fun than the corrupt individuals.
Yeah.
Explain
that
one. Well, why do you think we have more fun?
Yeah. Well, because they can't figure out how to shut us out. I mean, they've, you know, most of us, they've tried just about everything. They've tried intimidating you, tried bribing you, whatever. And they can't understand people that are not motivated by the desire for power or money, that just want to see justice.
Mm-hmm. Well,
because none of us really care about money, or we would have just joined onto a ruling caucus and, you know,
right,
ridden the drain, fed at the trough.
Mm-hmm. That and if you're doing wrong, you can't go out there and have as much fun as we're having because it shines a spotlight on you. When you're trying to do something on the lowdown, you got to kind of be in the background.
Every election I run in, I can look everybody in the eye.
Yeah,
right.
I write and talk about the real issues. You know, generally, if you're an opposition candidate, you have all the issues in your favor. So generally what they do is go out running a whisper campaign and gossip about you, tell lies about you.
Right. So we don't hear anything from our union leadership again. Mike Manley, who was the last CEO of Fiat Chrysler for last year, his total compensation was $14 million.
Yeah.
That's about 218 times as much as the 64,000 average paid employee.
Yeah.
Okay. But we don't hear about that. We just hear about how expensive the worker is, how expensive these workers are. We got to have more half price, how expensive they are.
Yeah.
You know, and then this last week, the federal prosecutor charged one of the top Fiat Chrysler car sellers in a wire fraud scam. Yeah, it's all there. You know what I mean? It's all there.
Well, they've always said stuff like that, but the union used to stand up to them and be an advocate for the people on the floor. But for the last 30 or 40 years, they've slowly and progressively taken management's side on all the issues. I mean,
what about this latest issue that they have where your seniority really is an issue? Standing up for the seniority rights of people.
Yeah. Well, for one thing, they've given away all the jobs. So what good is seniority if you can't bid on a better job? I mean, it's like you can bid on going to another team. You're in a team where you work 4 hours hurting your back and then 4 hours hurting your hands. So then you get the bid to put in for another area where you hurt your hands for 4 hours. Then you're back for 4 hours. You know, this job rotation completely took away seniority rights.
Sure did.
You used to go in and bid on a job, and you did that job. You were the expert at the job, and you did it well. And they did away with that system. They've slowly outsourced all the good jobs.
I can honestly say, while I was at the truck plant, I never rotated. I refused to rotate.
Yeah. Well, that's just because they figured you were incorrigible.
No, that's true. And they left me alone. They did. And that happened in Saginaw, too. That's the first time I've seen this team concept was in Saginaw when we were shut down to build a van. And all these people were, what are they doing? They moved down one. Everybody moved down one on this little conveyor. I go, what the hell? I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that. They put me, I wasn't by anybody. And all I did was, bore out some, I don't even know, remember what it was, and put it on a little conveyor and it shot it down to them. And that's all I did. I had a radio. They left me alone. They gave me a pair of boots and a bib, and off I went, man, every night, every day. So, yeah, I refuse to do that crap.
Yeah. Well, the only good jobs left anymore are appointed jobs, pretty much.
Yeah, that's true. That's not really a good job in an assembly plant.
No. It's disgusting. The workplace is disgusting. The lack of floor representation is disgusting. And I'm just getting back to these temporary workers. It's ridiculous to what they have to put up with. They probably have better working conditions than McDonald's. McDonald's, you get a schedule, and they don't fire you if you don't want to come in on your day off. They just call somebody else.
That's true. Yeah, it's pitiful. It's terrible. I hated working next to somebody that was making half of what I was making.
Yeah. Yep.
I just hated that. I felt terrible.
Yeah. Well, they're not thinking. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, when we got these signing bonus, everybody, I was in quality, but I was more, Scotty, I was more in production than I was. I was on both. I did repairs and everything else.
Right.
I even sat in their meetings. So we all chipped in some money and gave it to, we had low income person, and we chipped in and gave her some money, quite a bit.
Yeah, that's what solidarity is supposed to be about. It's caring about your fellow workers and saying no to the unfair demands of the boss. Now the union wants to say yes to whatever management wants. They're not thinking about the impact on the worker. What it's like to go to work every day not knowing whether this is going to be your last day.
Right.
I mean, how that affects your digestion, how that affects your psychological health.
Your blood pressure.
Yeah.
Your sugar.
Yeah. This is the kind of crap that really undermines people's health. I mean, you work under those conditions for years, you're a mess.
Or worse, you snap and you go in there and workplace violence happens.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. This guy never did anything, but I worked with a guy down in Pontiac. He was kind of you could tell he was kind of unstable. He'd been in the military. He said he operated under the military theory that if he came in there with a gun, he was going to shoot all of management, But the thing is, you work with some people that are just, they're on medication. What happens if they just decide not to take their medication? You got somebody who's, was a temp, and he's he's bipolar, and he just decides to stop taking his medication. What could happen?
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to work under that condition every day.
Yeah.
I knew of a person that took medications. And, you don't have control over if they take their medications or not.
No, you don't.
Well, so in my mind, what I always did was know where that person is,
Yeah.
And know what my exits are.
Yeah.
There you
yeah.
go.
Yeah.
Well, I work
try
right
not
down.
To be in a closed room.
I work right down from somebody that shot himself in the head and killed himself right down on the line.
Wow. It's just these workplace pressures. Our union cares nothing about the workplace pressures. I mean, what speed up does to you? And how about the person that put, you know, 25 years in a plant and waited to get a job, and then they outsource it?
Yeah, that happened.
There's a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
You know, there's absolutely no one who cares about the worker's perspective.
Also, look at the fact, like right now, the people with the targets on their back are the ones that won't retire. They have the time to retire. They won't retire, so now they have a target on their back. Management
yeah.
comes up with little nothings and try to discipline them
yeah.
On a regular basis so that you can force retire, you know, make them retire.
Yeah.
You're trying to force them to retire. Well, that's discriminatory. But,
yeah.
you know, you have to prove that, which is not really that hard to prove.
Yeah.
But still, that person has to go through that.
Yeah.
And that's just, it's terrible.
Well, there's no incentive to retire, you know. The thing is, I remember.
Yes, it is.
What's that?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Well,
peace of mind
I'll give
you an
example.
All the incentive you need.
Yeah. Well, an example is when I, many years ago when I worked at the truck plant, I was running an election and I talked to a guy. He was an older guy. He had like 45 years in, and he was a team leader in some obscure area. And he said to me, why should I retire? They won't replace me. I mean, one of the great joys of retirement used to be your last day on the job, they bring some young 18-year-old kid over and say this is a replacement. You got to teach them your job. That doesn't happen anymore.
No,
you know that when you're gone, either they're not going to replace you or they're going to bring somebody in to pay them peanuts.
They wanted
well,
to take me off my job my last day and put me upstairs on a job I never did in quality.
Yeah.
I said, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I'm leaving at lunch.
Yeah.
I have my replacement here.
Yeah. They put me on one of the worst jobs I'd ever done my last day, you know.
Jesus, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Nobody knew when my last day was going to be.
I don't know how you took it.
See, I took off. I took off a week before my last day.
Yeah.
Oh.
And the day that last, my actual last day that I worked, I was able to clean out all my lockers, my cabinets, give my cabinets away.
Mm-hmm.
Put all my stuff in my car. Nobody knew that was it.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
They just thought, oh, she's just cleaning out stuff for next week. No. Because I heard that they gave me a party. And it's like, oh, how did y'all enjoy it? Because I had a cake made for them.
You know, Jeannie used to do this show years ago. And you remember Jeannie, Scott?
Yep.
Well,
she
got me a big cake, and all of them took a picture together and mounted it in a nice frame and gave it to me. But they had a party, but I said, I got to leave. I got to go, you know. I hope you enjoy it. Jeannie hasn't talked to me since then.
Oh, no.
She got madder now at me because I didn't even taste a piece of cake.
Yeah, I didn't want to break bread with people that had more knives in my back than I could count.
Yeah,
like,
so they're celebrating
now.
Your leaving.
Exactly. That's the way I looked at it.
Exactly.
So y'all go on to celebrate. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But, yeah, peace of mind is very valuable.
It is.
A lot of people don't understand the it's not your concern about who's going to take over your job when you leave.
Yeah.
That's not your concern. Your concern is, if you're thinking of retirement,
yeah.
Now is what's best for you.
Yeah. I'm just saying it's just nice
world.
To be able to do that.
Yeah, go out here and enjoy this world,
yeah.
You know, because you've been stuck up in those facilities for however long, doing all the things that you did in there. It's time for you to relax.
Well,
yeah.
And enjoy
that's
life.
True.
And all the stuff you were breathing in every day.
Yes.
That can't be healthy. I'm telling you that.
Exactly.
No. Well, that's one of the reasons I pretty much always work 40 hours a week. At the metal center, you could turn down all overtime, so there was plenty of workaholics there. But my point is it used to be when you retired, you knew you were making way for someone else to make a living.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
In the last 20 years, whenever somebody retired, they didn't replace them.
That's true.
They wiped job out of the cell count.
Yeah. Yep.
If 500 people retired, 500 jobs were wiped out.
Right. But there was still nothing you as an individual could do about that.
Well, I realize that.
You know, if our union representatives didn't try to fight for replacements for those jobs, which they did, well, I mean, what? Because
they bargained all these attrition agreements.
But this is what I was going to say. They're able to, according to the Constitution, your bargaining unit.
Right.
And so it's almost like you as a member, you have no say-so in how they bargain.
Yeah. Well, they clearly don't think about our viewpoint.
No.
They think about management's.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, anytime they're starting to say, we hire, and it's like, well, when did the UAW start hiring?
Yeah.
You don't hire the temps, and you know that's not your function. But I had started looking at them in a very different light. Just before I retired, I had started looking at them as a Kelly service.
Yeah.
And so you know, then somebody, like I said, they inserted their foot in their mouth and said, we hire, and it's like, ooh, really?
Yeah.
No, the only people that the UAW is supposed to be hiring is the clerical staff that they have working for the UAW.
Right.
Or lawyers that they have, you know, working for them.
Or I've seen at different locals that I've been around, I've been around a little bit, and that's my plan. I've seen specific CHOP chairman requests for more people to be hired. And do you know who shuts them down? Detroit. The International.
Right.
Like, wow.
They, in their, through their bargaining process, they've helped management eliminate jobs. They've made it cheaper for them to shut plants down. I mean, it used to be, we shut a plant down, everybody went into the jobs bank.
Yep.
Or got retirement incentives. Now it's like, well, we got a job for you in Texas. That's really great when your kid's a senior in high school and you live in Flint, Michigan.
Yep. Or the, about the people they laid off most of third shift up to Grayiron, up in Saginaw.
Yeah.
45 people. You either started down at Flint Metal Assembly tomorrow, or you're get to go down to Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Or no benefits.
Or, yeah, you get no benefits if you don't want to move because we offered you a job.
Right. I mean, people used to hire in the auto industry for stability.
Yeah.
If you got laid off Flint Truck and Bus, you had, what, five or six other GM plants and that you might be able to get picked up at, or Saginaw Steering Gear.
Right.
Which is now, you know, next year.
Right.
You might have to go as far as Pontiac.
Right, or Lansing.
Right.
It's a little closer than Pontiac, but...
Yeah, you didn't get told to show up, what is it, 2 weeks you have to show up in Texas?
Yeah.
Or is it a week?
I think it's 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, get your affairs in order.
Yeah. Y'all going to Texas yet, partner?
Yeah. You can even move. You can either move your family to Texas, get a divorce, or see your family on shutdowns and holidays and vacation time.
Yeah, I knew somebody did that.
Yeah.
18 hours one way.
Yeah.
From Edgerton, Wisconsin to north of Arlington, Dallas area.
Yeah.
18 hours one way.
Yeah.
And work a shift, take a quick nap, jump in the truck and drive up to Wisconsin to see his family.
Yeah.
And then leave early in the Monday morning and then drive way back so you can make second shift on Monday in the afternoon.
Right. Yeah, it's insane what they put our membership through. They've made it very cheap for them to close the plant.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's not that many plants left anymore.
Nope. And they want even less. I mean, the thing about Mary Barra, she's very transparent.
Well, yeah. I mean, she's doing what she's supposed to do, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I can be mad at her all I want. But if you look at it from a different set of glasses, she's doing what I've hired her to do as a corporation.
Yeah.
She's doing her job.
That's the
difference between our top union leadership and management. I don't like
what
management's doing, but they're doing what they think is the best way to turn a profit.
Right.
And
but
our union leaders are supposed to make sure we don't get screwed in the process.
Exactly. That's my point. My point is, if she's doing her job, and if our union's doing their job, there should be some conflict somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm just going to say there should be some conflict. I'm not going to say it all the time, but there should be some conflict. You know, it used to be in the past, the corporation had enough integrity to forewarn the union that, look, you know, through negotiations in this contract, in 5 years, this plant probably won't be here. And this plant probably won't be here. Well, we don't do that now. Now we just make announcements, and the union says, well, I felt like I've been slapped in the face. Well, you nitwit, you've been more than slapped in the face. You got something sticking out your rear end, you just don't feel it yet. You just got royally got shafted.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's not you that got shafted. It's us.
Yeah.
That's why
they give
bonuses, Scott. That's why they give the bonuses.
Oh, that's
not dumb. And I don't believe that. I don't believe that they really got slapped in the face. I believe that they knew.
I agree, and I don't think they got slapped. They didn't get slapped in the face. It didn't hurt them. It's not their job on the line. They're still getting theirs.
That's it, right there.
It's all of us. They're still getting theirs. And if you look at Mr. Gamble and all the boards that he sets on and how much money he brings in a year, he ain't worried about it at all.
Well, I figure they'll be dead when it all hits the fan. But it's been cascading downward pretty quickly in the last few years.
Yeah.
I think there was about 125,000 workers at GM when Yellowfinger took over. Now we have far less than half that. And what percentage of them are low paid?
Yeah, they're saying in this latest article I read, they're saying that they have 1 million UAW members. And that doesn't say auto workers. That's combined.
Right.
That's correct.
I agree with you. How many of them, at what wages? They used to say on the UAW page that the average pay for a UAW worker was $19.84. Well, when you start bringing all these tiers in, that average went way down, didn't it?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they don't want to tell you much of anything anymore.
No. We're a bunch of mushrooms. They keep us in the dark and feed us a bunch of bull.
Mm-hmm.
And evidently, people like being mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Or they don't see any choice.
You don't see any choice?
I said, or they don't see any choice.
Oh, or they don't see any choice.
Because the crap, all the crap they've been subjected to has been bargained by the union.
Yep. And like Adrian said the last 2 weeks in a row, y'all don't know what you're missing out on. You don't know the things we've had and what we've lost. You've never had them.
Right.
But if I tell you I could get you $5 more an hour, maybe I'd get your attention.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if I told you you'd have health care when you retired, maybe I'd get your attention.
Right.
Shit. I mean, I'm going to go on a real big limb out here. I could even say, what if I told you we could get you a pension? Would that get your attention?
Yeah.
You probably could if you all stood together and fought for it.
Right, there you go.
When they had people, you know, that were older, would it help them fight? You know, it galls me that just before I retired, people voted to screw their kids as grandkids. I mean, we can rag on the union leadership all we want, but the membership voted to screw their own kids and grandkids.
That's right.
Oh, that's good money. Yeah, well, why aren't we working for that then, if that's such good money? To me, to work, you know, to think that there's people out there that are working and making less money than, far less than I made 12 years ago, it's disgusting. Or they make about what I make on a pension. That's crazy.
Well, just like everything else, nobody watches the trends.
No.
And this stuff started way back. It didn't just happen in the 2000s.
Yeah.
All of this stuff happened way back. You could see it happen.
Yep.
And yet and still, you know, those that saw it were speaking, but nobody was listening.
Well, and a lot of locals, people were. You know, like at Buick City, they were listening. The New Directions movement that came up in the 80s, it was largely composed of union presidents of some very large locals, like the Buick City local that had I think when Yetta took over, there's like 16,000 people working there. That's gone. The Pete Kelly was at Proving Grounds. He was very vocal. Donnie Douglas at Pontiac Truck and Bus. There was around 10 or 12,000 people working there. General Motors just systematically eliminated the local, just like they did with Buick City.
Yeah. L-92.
Yep.
About gone.
Yeah. Yep. Jerry Tucker, he ran for regional director in Kansas City area, and they cheated him at the convention. He had to fight in court to get seated as regional director.
Jesus. That's something.
And then they still silenced him. But what do you know about Chrysler, or what do you know about Ford?
What about them?
You know, what do you know about them? Because all I hear you talk about is GM and what GM.
Well, basically, we had pattern agreements. I mean, there were minor differences, but basically, the pattern was there. Often General Motors, because they were the biggest company at that time, they were the strike target, and the union negotiated the pattern there. And basically, with minor differences, it's the same contract for all three of them. I never had a chance to work for Ford. I worked in, you know, five different GM plants.
Right. Yeah.
Daddy,
I think what I'm trying to get at with you is the fact is I never worked for GM.
Right.
I never worked for Chrysler either.
Right.
But I do know things that went on at those other facilities.
Yeah.
Those other companies.
Yeah.
And I try to find things that are common.
Yeah.
To them all. So that I don't get myself in the habit of just speaking about one company.
Yeah.
Now, before I even went in to work for Ford, I have family members that worked at all three companies.
Uh-huh.
So this is how I learned a lot about what was going on all around.
Yeah.
Okay. Like I said, it was nothing to sit at our dinner table and have discussions about unions.
Yeah.
especially since the majority of my family members were union members, but they didn't all belong to the UAW either.
Yeah.
So I got to see different functions and things of other unions also.
Yeah.
And like I said, I know when I first went to work, I didn't want to work anywhere that had a union.
Yeah.
From all the things that I do. Like, I could do this on my own. But, of course, I ended up working for the federal government. I worked for the VA hospital. They had a union. And, of course, coming from a union family, I had to join the union. But the thing about it is you did not have to be a union member.
Right.
Okay, there was not a closed shop.
Right.
When I, and I feel that when I came to Forest, though, they had a closed shop. And I just felt, that's not exactly right.
No, don't force it on him.
It shouldn't be mandatory that you belong to the union. Because that makes it a little corrupt, too.
Well, I don't think you should be forced to join a union, but I believe this. If you don't join the union, the union should not be obligated to represent you, and you shouldn't get the wages and benefits that union members get, because the union bargained those for their members.
Well, they bargained those benefits and those wages, period. Now,
right.
I don't feel that you should be represented, but as far as the wages and the benefits, you get those because that's what they bargained for the facility. And so you work there in the facility.
Yeah.
This is just like right to work anyway.
Yeah.
I don't feel that in this state, right to work means that if you get into some kind of whatever, that the union has to represent you, and you're not a union member. No, they don't. They should not have to represent you in a disciplinary. No, you should have to go that on your own. If you get that representation, and which it is, it does state this, but it's what is it? Stage two. It's supposed to go before the membership to get an okay from them. And once they get the okay, then there is a charge to you.
Mm.
So you have to pay for that. But I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
I don't see them doing that.
No.
Yeah.
Let me jump in real quick. Scotty had to leave. Scotty had to leave, and he didn't want to interrupt Adrian, so I'm saying goodbye for you, for him.
Good night, Scotty.
He's long gone.
Okay, I have a question. How long have they been doing signing bonuses for the contracts? And is there a way that we can ask for them to negotiate a contract without the signing bonus in hopes that we get more, and like forcing the members not to say yes because they get contracts?
Did signing bonuses come about in the late 70s?
I don't see. 80s, I think.
I think they came
it
after that 81 agreement.
Yeah.
Okay.
We never got one at General Motors. And then the first one I got was $50.
I think they started around 1984.
Okay.
I think it was in that 84 contract, too, yeah.
Because the union used to bargain a 3% annual improvement in our wages.
That was a gimme. Every 3 years, was a gimme.
Yep.
Now, the other part of the question about getting rid of that, I don't know. The only way that I could see that you could get rid of that is through resolution. And
is it a fact that these servicing reps get the signing bonus that on the contracts they bargain? I've heard that. Is that a fact? Because if it is, there's no incentive for them to bargain contracts without signing bonuses if your reps get a signing bonus like you do.
That feeds the bargaining then if he thinks he's going to get a cash payout. I mean, that's
what
almost coercion.
I've heard that the bargainers get the bonus that they bargain for the membership. So if you're if you're a servicing rep and you bargain contracts for 10 or 12 union locals or union locals, you know, different unions, you get their signing bonus.
For each one.
There's no incentive for them to not bargain bonuses because they're cutting their own compensation if they do away with that and just go for pay raises, hourly pay raises.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a show note real quick. We will not have a show next Sunday. It's Mother's Day. So embrace your mothers if you're lucky enough to have them.
And no union talk at the table, right?
That's right.
You don't want to make mothers sick.
No politics
day.
Or union talk.
Well,
I won't guarantee that in this house.
You got too many UAW members.
Yeah, I got, it's just one besides
just
myself.
One. Oh, okay.
The other one belongs to another union.
Oh, geez. Yeah, you're going to get hammered.
And James belongs to another union, so.
Right.
No.
I just want to get that in before we close up shop. We do not have a show next Sunday, and really, pause right. Don't talk anything like that. Tell your mother how great she is, how wonderful she is.
I know that's right.
Yeah. Wait till what I say for Father's Day, Adrian.
Oh, yes. I'm waiting for that one.
Mr. Adrian is going to have fun. I'll be talking about him. And Jack, don't send me any more emails. I'm not going to read them on the line. I'm not going to read them on the show. Adrian and Carrie are both married. They're not into what you're into, so you might as well stop. I'm not reading. Holy mackerel. This guy sent me how many emails.
And I'd like to tell my brother from the truck plant, Mr. 313.
Yeah.
Messenger me, please, so that we can sit down and have a talk.
I already did, but you won't accept me.
Wow.
Oh. See,
you
don't know who you are. Can you give me some initials at least?
Can I give... If it's all right with 313, can I give your first name?
Can you put us in a chat room or whatever?
No, I'm going to put it in here.
What's that?
Okay, we're going to the green room, Adrian. It's going to be...
Hello?
Are you there?
Yes.
Are we by ourselves?
Don, are you there? Yes, we are.
You're not by yourself.
Oh,
okay.
Not by yourself. Oh, that's
Don's by himself, apparently. Oh, when I ask you to be a friend, I always put on 313.
Yeah, 313. I can't even get her in the green room. I don't know why. I got Todd in the green room.
Adrian, I'm gonna request a phone from you right now. So.
Okay, I'm gonna bring up my account here.
Yeah.
Two. Yeah, I hadn't been accepting any friend requests. Because I get some people that, it's like, No,
yeah.
I'm trying to keep my friends down because I get some craziness going on.
Yeah.
So, on my Facebook page, mostly I try to post motivational stuff. I do articles Monday through Friday.
There you go.
But I try to post motivational stuff and say a prayer for everybody, let everybody know that I'm still up and kicking every morning.
That's right. And fighting for them.
Yeah, but it's
when you get people, I had somebody say to me to stick to my Bible verses.
Mm-hmm.
Because I posted an article. It was a political article, but I don't say anything on them. This is for your reading. I've read
right.
it, so
yeah.
And I put on it for your information. And I don't care which side is on. I just posted, and they told me that I shouldn't be concerned with that.
Really?
And
well.
It was like, uh-oh, you got to go.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to go because you don't tell me what I should be doing.
Right. Yeah. That's not good.
Yeah, because you can very easily just bypass stuff.
That's why I don't go to Facebook a hell of a lot. I'm about to go. Yet if I didn't have so many followers on Twitter, the show has got a lot. Like, I had 40,000. Now I'm down, you know, they started kicking people off, and
mm-hmm.
I'm down to 20,000 now. So,
and some days you just, some stuff you just don't want to get involved in, you know.
Yeah, I don't get involved in that mess. I don't tweet out something ignorant. That's why I'm not kicked out. But
I love posting positive stuff for folks, you know.
Yeah.
Because we don't know. Oh!
You must have got the message.
Yes, I did. And it's so strange because, yes, I've seen that name before, and I'm like, well, who the hell is that?
You're mean.
I didn't know that was okay. Oh, that's just too funny.
That's all right, you're just having a Don moment.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's just too funny. Oh yeah, okay.
You got it.
Yeah, I saw that name and here's what's really funny. All he's saying is, I'm 313.
All
but
right.
I never even opened it up.
We got that straightened out.
Yes.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, that's good. Well, we got about 2 minutes, folks.
Good night, you rabble rosers.
Well,
take care of yourself.
Good night, and to your wife, hope your wife has a happy Mother's Day.
Yes.
And Cinnamon also.
Mm-hmm.
And
Paul's
happy
gone.
Mother's Day to all those mothers out there.
Yes. Yes, please, if you're lucky enough to have a mother, and think of your mother if you don't have a mother.
Yes.
There.
You mothered somebody.
Yep. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So
that,
have a good night.
Got about 90 seconds. Sorry about all the people in the switchboard if you did push one, but we're done. We'd be done here in a minute. Well, Adrian.
Yes.
This is me and 313. You take care of yourself and enjoy your day and be safe.
Tell Cousin Kathy I say hey.
Thank you for mentioning it. She told me to hi, and she really enjoyed talking to you.
We had to get together sometime and talk some more.
Oh, God, not on the UAW show, please.
No.
I'll act like I'm doing a show and you two are the only ones, and I'll just put you in the green room and let you yak.
Like we did before.
Yeah, I kept coming in wanting to know if you wanted to come back.
We had a good conversation.
Well, that's
all
good.
Right.
All right, you take care of yourself.
Talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Couple of weeks. You do the same. And Mr. Adrian, you tell him hello, and we will talk to you.
Okay.
10 seconds. We are gone. So take care of yourself.
Right.
313, be safe. We're done. Good night, everybody. Good night, Adrian.
Good night.